Good morning. Can you all hear me? Did I scare you? I scare myself in the morning when I look in the mirror, so it's appropriate. Thank you. Thank you for being here. We know for some of you this is a shorter drive than going other places, but for most it's probably a longer drive, so we appreciate the effort, especially the board members and support people who are here. I think everyone is in attendance that is supposed to be here, so that's much appreciated. Especially want to thank Duchesne County and Duchesne City for welcoming us and making us feel at home. The great thing about places like Duchesne is that you do always feel at home, wherever it is you may call home, so we appreciate that. Is Mayor Raleigh here? So would you like to offer an introduction and a special thanks to you for hosting us?
I would like to welcome all of you here to Duchesne City and put an opportunity to send for us and for this nice facility. But I also want to take the opportunity to thank you and your staff for all the good work you did for us. If it wasn't for things like you and your staff, small communities like us wouldn't be able to do our project. And we so much appreciate it as you drive on our road. Some of that was controversial, but you'll see our nice roads, and as you turn on the tap, you'll see have good water that comes out thanks to you. Recently, we had a fire down at many ranches, and the fire trucks responded, and that's thanks to you people, you know, that we have good fire trucks and city crew. And we just so much appreciate it. So it just suggested to me that we offer this facility to you as a permanent home for the community impact program. But some of your projects are controversial, like Victory Pipeline. You know, when our grandfathers and great grandfathers settled here, they would go to the river and get a barrel of water and put alum in the settle, and that was the drinking water. And now projects like Victory Pipeline, it's my understanding, it's almost their capacity. And our water treatment plant is functioning in the capacity. And it's just thanks to people like you. And small communities don't have the chance to, or we don't have the finances to finance these projects. And it's nice for us to be able to place like this. You people and your staff and all of you are so good at helping us. We just want to extend our thanks to you and appreciate you coming and welcome you here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mary. As is our tradition and practice, we will, before we begin, we'll have a briefing by our fund manager, Karen Sharp.
This is the final funding meeting of fiscal year 2017. And the board has already reviewed most of the applications. There is one new one and one off the pending list to be discussed today. We have two that have withdrawn their applications. The first one is Blanding. Blanding is the would be number 11 on your agenda. They have withdrawn it. They are the ones that were funded by the Division of Water Quality on March 22nd. The board also authorized funding. They are graciously taking the first offer. So they've withdrawn that application. And Taft County has withdrawn theirs. They have gone elsewhere for funding the Taft County Event Center. And we will not be discussing that one or approving anything on that application today. In your packet, there is a new revised amount for Richfield City, which is the new application that we'll be discussing. And it shows a smaller amount. They're asking for $595,000. It's the one that is dressed up like applications usually are. It's got a yellow front sheet and the rest of the application behind it. The request is a $350,000 grant and a $245,000 10-year at 0% loan to do street improvements at the intersection of 1300 South and College Avenue. The application has been worked and reworked. They paused before they brought it in and really looked at what they're going to do. We'll let them speak to what they are going to do. They do not see any issues with this application as presented. The Deer County Special Service District is going to provide $125,000 of the project, which is why it's gone down. UDOT is providing $25,000 rather than $200,000. For a total of $745,000 to accommodate this project. That's the final bid offer, so that's what the board will be discussing today. And the last application that we'll actually be discussing is the one off the pending list for Green River. Green River presented a project to us for a natural gas study, a pipeline study for services to natural gas. The board, when they reviewed that, admonished them to wait until they have the economic development grant that they were waiting for, which was the match for this. It has come in, so the board will be discussing that project. The question I might have is the status of that money in hand, and how will they accommodate the reimbursements to that? Because normally at a 50% requirement for planning, the CID will reimburse 50% of the cost. And we'll go to that point. Funding meetings are the easy ones to discuss.
Well, thank you, Candace. We appreciate you and your staff for all the work you do in preparing for these meetings. You know, it's a lot of work, as evidenced by the amount of paperwork that we have in front of us, which seems to constantly be changing. So we do appreciate the great efforts that you put and the fact that you stay on top of it day in and day out. So we will officially call the meeting to order. We'd like to start with introductions of the board members so that we know who we're dealing with here. Councilman Farrell, why don't we start with you today and we'll work around.
Steve Farrell, representing the Board of Water Resources.
Madison Kane County Commission, representing the Five County Association of Governments. Commissioner Tudor Hawkins, Sevier County Commissioner, representing Sevier County's ALG.
Good morning, everybody. Greg Galecki, representing Water Quality Board.
Good morning. That is from sunny St. George, warm St. George. No, warm. Representing UDOT Commission.
Chris Drew, Admin Assistant for HCD.
Candace Powers, Housing and Community Development, and Fund Manager for the Community Impact Board.
Good morning again. My name is Keith Eaton. I'm with the Housing and Community Development Division.
Good morning, David Anderson, State Treasurer.
Jay Potter, Carbon County Commissioner, representing Carbon County.
Bruce Adams, San Juan County Commissioner, representing Southeastern Utah AOG.
Ron Winterton, Duchesne County Commission, representing the Uinta Basin Association of Governments.
Tanya Norton, I'm the Vernal City Mayor, and I am representing Uinta County.
Jonathan Hardy, Director of Housing and Community Development.
Susan Eisenman, from the Attorney General's Office. I'll be providing your legal representation today.
Gail Gardner with the Housing and Community Development Division.
Why don't we do the front row since those are staffers who will be participating.
Linda Brown, are you financial member
of the area? Tyler Davis, Division of Water Quality.
John Mackey, Division of Water Quality Engineering Section Manager.
Keith Nelson, Division of Drinking Water. Debbie Curry, Bank Manager at CWS.
Ties of Water Rural Planning Group.
Quint Simmons with the Rural Planning Group.
Fred Belkrager, I'm on the council for the board.
Thank you all. And again, welcome to all of you. Those of you in the back seem like you're way back there. Kevin, can you hear me okay? Great. And I apologize to Candace and Treasurer Danson for yelling in their ears. I wanted to make sure everyone can hear.
What?
Yeah. If I start to fade out, just wave at me, Kevin. As with everything in life, change is a constant. And as those of you who are astute may have noted, there has been a change on the board. A very warm welcome to Mayor Norton from Vernal. She is replacing Mike McKee, who is our longest-serving board member. I think former Commissioner McKee served for over 10 years and served admirably. He was very faithful and dutiful in attending and participating and sharing his experience and knowledge, and we will forever be indebted to him for his tremendous service to the citizens of the state of Utah. And we like to recognize our board members who have served with such distinguished honor, so I'd like to invite Commissioner McKee to come forward at this time so that we can recognize him. Oh, come on down. You gotta come down.
None of this watching them. This is an intimidating group.
The staff was kind enough to get that token of the appreciation. Again, not only from staff and the board, but from all of the state of Utah. We very much appreciate all that you've done and all that you will continue to do in your new role. So, thank you, Mike.
I
think that would be very nice.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to say a few words, feel free. If you'd rather,
you know, I have learned to my friends, the fewer words that I say, the better they like it. So just thank you very much. This is very kind. Thank you for the nice words. Thank you.
I'll just put that right there.
Oh, I'm jittery here.
Well, it's a big moment. You know, graduations, you know, the time of year and everything.
Ooh, that is nice. Oh, look at that. Very, very nice.
Again, thank you.
Really appreciate it. That's very nice. Thank you. I will say just one thing. Had an opportunity to serve on various boards through the years, school board, college boards, and different things, but I've never had an opportunity to serve on a board that I've enjoyed serving on more than this board, and just the wonderful people to be able to work with the board members, the staff, and the public, and then the opportunity to be able to hopefully try to be able to help our communities throughout the state. And it is, whoever has an opportunity to serve on this board, I think everybody would say the same thing. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to serve on this board, and so I greatly have appreciated that opportunity, and I will continue to enjoy our friendships and associations. Thank you.
No pressure, Mayor Norton.
No.
The next item of business is the approval of the minutes from April 6, 2017. The chair will entertain a motion to approve or correct as you see fit.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion from Mr. Zanotti. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second from Commissioner Ogden. Any questions on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor of approval of the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Generally, in funding meetings, we kind of lump projects together just to expedite the process. Today's agenda, as you all are well aware, is a little bit shorter than most of our funding meetings, as we had a fairly quiet trimester. So I'm going to go through them in smaller groups. We have a couple of projects from the same entity, so I'll lump those together. But by and large, I'll go through them one-on-one, and try to be clearer about it, but just so you're aware of what we're doing. So the first project we have is Christ City. It was the Cliffview Cemetery expansion, $450,000, 20-year loan at 2.5% interest. The second project we had was also Christ City, water and sewer improvements, $600,000 total request with a $300,000 20-year 2.5% loan and a $300,000 grant. The chairwoman came to
approve.
Well, that was quick. Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Is there a second? Councilman Farrell. So a motion by Commissioner Adams, second by Councilman Farrell. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Looks like that motion carries. Thank you to Price City. We appreciate the good work that you do there and your willingness to work with the board. The next project, number three, Roosevelt City, Hancock Cove Sewer Project, a $2.5 million total request with a $500,000 30-year 0% loan and a $2 million grant. The chair will entertain a motion to approve as presented.
So moved.
We have a motion by Commissioner Winterton, a second by Commissioner Ogden. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Galecki stands opposed. Any abstaining? The motion carries. We have two projects from Milford, or the Milford area. Project number four is the Healthcare Service District number three, purchase of two new ambulances, $300,000 total request, $150,000 5-year 2.5% loan, and $150,000 grant. Project number five from Milford City is a new community center.
Can you break that one up?
Yes, I'd be happy to. So a motion on project number four, the Healthcare Service District number three.
So made.
Motion by Councilman Farrell.
Second.
Oh, I've got a number of seconds, but I heard Commissioner Matson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
And I guess the message, I'm still opposed as from last time. I guess the message that I want to bring to applicants is part of that was, you know, I thought there wasn't enough information to say whether they could really afford, you know, afford more of a, you know, whether they can take more of a grant or not, or more of a loan or not. So I guess that's just more of a message for applicants that I still maintain.
Appreciate that. Any other comments or opposition? Any abstention? The motion carries with the minutes reflecting the concern that it was not able, the board was not adequately able to evaluate the applicant's ability to afford the terms presented. So I think in the future, as a message to all of us, to try and do a better job of evaluating those types of criteria. Thank you, Mr. Galecki, and thank you to the board. Number five, Milford City New Community Center, a $1.472 million request with a $736,000 30-year 2.5% loan and a $600,000 grant. Motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Oh, sorry, question of the chairman. You said 2.5, it's 2%.
You
got 2%.
Oh. Yeah, 2%. Okay, let's double check that then. The cheat sheet could be wrong. Candace, do you have
never happened anymore.
Never will happen again. Yeah, as advanced, it says 2% on the middle sheet. It is supposed
to
be
2.
2?
2.
2. Okay.
There were three motions on that the final error was 2%.
Well, thank you, Mr. Donati. Mr. Galecki, will your motion stand at 2%?
Will.
Okay, we have a motion. Do you have a second?
Second.
A second by Mr. Zanetti. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. Thank you both. Project number six, Ryan Headtown, new pumper truck, $150,000 grant. Motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Commissioner Madsen, motion?
Second.
Councilman Farrell, second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Greckie, would you like to comment or disappoint?
Yeah, I guess Colin is that, you know, when I look at the minutes that we continue to, I think us as a board have to try to get a little more diligent on trying to loan money as opposed to all grants. And so I know we went through it and wound up this. So I opposed it then, and still then, is now, is to continue to try to make harder motions to use more of the loan money.
Thank you for that comment. That will be reflected in the minutes. Any other comments or abstentions, objections? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Good. We're settled then. Heber City, Public Works Facility Expansion, $3.5 million, 30-year, 1% loan. Motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilman Farrell and a second from Commissioner Winterton. Discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No opposed.
Commissioner Potter stands opposed. Any comments?
Just concern over the interest rate and non-producing. There is a tax base there that could have covered that.
Let the minutes reflect those comments, please. Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Project number 8, Big Water Municipal Remodeling of the Community Center for Restroom Access, an $83,000 grant. Motion to approve?
I move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Treasurer Danson and a second by Commissioner Matson.
I'm all about functional bathrooms.
There comes a time when we all are. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. I guess we all share your sentiments. Town of Pori, water system improvement, a $515,000 grant. Motion to approve? Commissioner Ogden, second. Commissioner Winterton?
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I don't have that information. What is that again?
Town of Pori, water system improvements on page 391.
And what's the number?
Page 391.
Number 9 on the review sheet. Page 3-9-1.
Is that another 1,700,000?
No, it's a $515,000 grant. Did the page get lost in your packet?
Actually,
you're right. Okay, you are absolutely right.
But a 515 CID grant is 1,700,000 from the Division of Drinking Water. So our cheat sheet is right and the other sheet is correct.
Well said. A lot of numbers staring at you.
$83,000 for the toilet was kind of in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it feels that's where it's all going. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstaining? Motion carries. Number 10, Cove Special Service District Water System Improvement, a $510,000 grant. Chairman will entertain a motion to approve.
I make that motion.
Commissioner Ogden, motion.
Second.
Commissioner Matson, second. Any discussion?
I actually have discussion on it. And I don't know if I mentioned low in the notes. Do they have a replacement fund set up? There was a discussion of one.
There was discussion of that by the Division of Drinking Water. Whether or not one is established, not requested in there.
Do we have someone here from Coast Special Service District? Come on down. We're going to make this trip worth your while.
So I'm not from Cole, but Kelly Chaplin has been engineering for the engineer. So
okay.
I'll come on what I can. But
do you know if they set up a sinking replacement fund for
Yeah, so the rate structure, the proposed rate structure is being proposed so that they can both pay back to this project as well as fund capital improvements once this project is paid off.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See, that was worth the, you know, drive now. Seeing no other questions, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or abstaining? That motion carries. Blanding City withdrew their application, and if the board is so inclined, we can discuss that further later on today. There was a letter that went out, and I don't know that we need to belabor the point, but again, if anyone would like to discuss it further, we'll have opportunity later on. Likewise, Cache County Project Number 12 withdrew, so that is no longer on our agenda today, which brings us to Section 4, New Project. Project Number 1 would be Richfield City. And as Candace pointed out, there was supplemental revisions on this that I put somewhere that I don't know where. So if we would at this time like to invite Richfield City to come forward and introduce themselves for the record and tell us about their application.
That's what I focused on. This is the revised from my red packet that I just showed you. I put it in this binder. I don't know if everyone else has the issue, but some of it's not very legible. But this is the original. Candace, I pulled it out there and I put it in here. So,
this is the old one. You got bad copies.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I would take it. That's my copy. I've got a couple of pages. I don't think it's something.
Please, introduction.
Good morning. My name is Dave Vaughn, and I'm the mayor of Richfield, and with me is City Manager Matt Kramer, and Mike Blanton, our finance director, and Carson DeMille with Shelton and DeMille Engineering on this project. We're happy to be here with you and beautiful Duchesne. Candace did a great job of explaining the changes in our project, and that's very important. 1300 South in Richfield, the collector road that goes to Snow College and is used by many people in our community and people from outside to come to our community. It has been become a very dangerous intersection because of the development on both the south and the north side of the interchange, and so we've had some very serious accidents at this interchange. Excuse me. UDOT has recognized this, and we have worked together with them and come up with a project with Carson's help, of course, to make this a safer, better access to our community and to Snow College and to school children that come there. The crossing of the 1300 South from the south to the north has become very dangerous. It's a long stretch, and so UDOT is going to put in a light, and they're investing $200,000 to do this, and have also given us $25,000 towards our project to develop the radius as they come off of 1300 South. So this project is going to go from a two-lane to a five-lane road for safety purposes for the most part. My staff asked me to either wear a shock collar so they could stop me when I should quit talking or even the cattle prod. I'm pretty sure that you could see the cattle prod, so this is really uncomfortable. So I'm not going to say a lot. I know you probably have questions. That's part of our project. The other part of our project is an 800 South extension of a project to with the county and the Special Service District. They're contributing $125,000 for this project where it goes across county land, and it's just that both of these projects together, we worked hard to be judicious and careful with the money, and that's the scope of it. So any questions you have, I'm sure you'll have some asked away. I've got some really smart people there.
Thank you, Mayor. We appreciate that. Appreciate the fact that you revised the application and brought some cash to the table on top of the UDOT cash. That is much appreciated and recognized. I also appreciate the fact that you're looking at a loan to grant ratio. Much appreciated. The only concern that I had was the 0% interest rate. And looking at your existing bonds on page 4112 of our packet, it looks like you'll be retiring two or three transportation-related bonds in the next year or two. Wondering if the city has the bonding capacity with your BNC funds to take interest on this loan, or if 0% interest is the best you can do.
I'm not sure.
I hear you really.
I hear fine. So that's right.
We're looking eye to eye.
That's okay. Great. As you mentioned, we do have some transportation bonds. We've had about $190,000 a year in payments on those bonds, and the issue has been those are now approaching maturity. Over the past 10 years, with those bonds, we've had a real hard time keeping up with maintenance of our 60 miles worth of roads in the community. And so our hope with this project is to be able to, and the retirement of those bonds is to be able to do a better job on our regular maintenance. As far as the question of interest, of course we would appreciate as good a deal as we could get. That helps us in the long run. And we recognize your obligations to perpetuate these funds and so forth. So I don't think it would be a problem for us to accept the kind of interest rate that this board is able to offer on that portion.
Thank you. Go to the board for other questions.
The $200,000 from the UDOT at this point is just before the when the time comes and the warrants for the lights will be provided to you, not at this point. But now they're helping you with improvements of the intersection, not the facility of the light itself. Because as of last study they did, UDOT did, there's no warranty for the intersection to have a light yet.
Yes, that is correct. They've indicated that they feel like it's very close,
right.
And that in fact, as we do this project, they're going to study again, and at least the impression that we have received from the region officer in Richfield is that they anticipate doing this project hopefully simultaneously with what we do, but it would be impossible for them to do it without what we're proposing.
That's correct. Yeah, I talked to them yesterday, Robert Dow and Rick Ferguson. Both of them confirmed that $200,000 will be committed to you when the time is right and warranted for the signal. Right now, the $25,000 will be the help for the intersection.
I guess one other point that I think would be important, I think it's mentioned in your narrative, but the south side of this intersection, it leads to several businesses, a couple of hotels, Home Depot, stores, and so forth. Just in the past 2 years, we have made these same improvements on the south side. So we do have it expanded to the 5 lanes, and so this will match it up and, again, be fully prepared for the signalization of the intersection.
Thank you.
UDOT has been so helpful and so responsive. Coming from Walmart and up to the freeway scenes, they've lowered the speed limit, and we've worked together on a great zero fatality program. I don't know
Rick has mentioned that to you.
Definitely.
You've been.
I was there yesterday. I crossed that intersection and I enjoyed it very much. Thank you, Mayor.
Other questions from the board? Commissioner Winterson?
Mr. Mayor, did Richfield pass the local option sales tax?
Yes.
Do you have that ability there?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to make a comment. Richfield's done a lot of work putting this together, working with UDOT, and also with the Special Service District. They've come to the plate to also participate in part of this project. And I think this is a very worthy application. As Mayor Ogden mentioned, there's been a lot of accidents out there on this 1300 South. I've witnessed that because I'm in the fire department. Been out there on several extrications out there. So it is getting to be a corner or an area that has a lot of traffic. And due to the fact that between Walmart and getting on the freeway, there's a lot of traffic and it's high speed, so this would be a very beneficial project for Richfield City.
Thank you.
I make a motion to change that rate from 0% to 1.5 with the mayor's blessing and approve that.
We have a motion to approve a $245,000 10-year 1.5% loan and a $350,000 grant. Is there a second to that motion?
I second.
We have a second by Commissioner Winterton. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Galecki?
I'd like to make a substitute motion.
Please.
What I'd like to entertain is a 75-25 split as far as loan to grant and a 2.5% loan. However, with the and deferring it for 2 years. A couple of reasons, because as was mentioned, they have almost $200,000 of bonding such that's going to be retiring. And I think with a couple of years, and also the reason that the 75% is because that's a little more in line with the which is split of what we did on roads offering to draw 2/3 to loan to grant funding.
Thank you, Mr. Galecki. Do you have the math on that, Candace?
Sorry, I didn't.
Still, did you have a question on the bonding capability on the PMC?
Maybe it's appropriate to see whether there's a second, but I agree. This is a DNC loan for a DNC road funding bond. It has to be paid off within 10 years of the date of this bond. So if you defer it 3 years, they've got to make the payments in 7 years.
Oh, I see. So they can't actually defer it half a year.
Yeah. The BNC fund has to be repaid within 10 years.
That was good.
Yeah.
Well, I'd modify that down to I'd modify that then to the 2%, but still at the 75-25 split.
So the interest rate would be 2%?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have the 25-75 split?
It's
going to be
40 or
25% on the rest of the loan. Not quite there.
No.
Is there a second to Mr. Galecki's motion?
Is it 75%?
Seeing no second, we'll go back to the original motion, which was 1.5%, $245,000 10-year. And a $350,000 grant. Any questions on that motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Mr. Galecki, any others? Any abstentions? That motion carries. Mayor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate your willingness to work with us and
thank
good
you.
Luck with the project.
This is
a funding meeting, so that is suspension funding. That money will be available once you work with Gail and get that all worked out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Green River City. We're here. The mayor's here. He's taking a long walk. It's a long room.
Oh, perfect. You have the green strip with the green river. How about it? Right.
Mayor Brady, welcome. Would you state your name for the record, please?
I'm Pat Brady from Gray River, Mayor. Mm-hmm. Happy to be here. Mm-hmm. I have to tell Mr. Winterson that my favorite, I guess your son runs him. Great place. I don't know if anybody else stayed there, but it was very surprising.
You didn't give us a discount, that's why we did this on your son.
She didn't want to share.
Okay, the first thing I need to note is that the total project cost went to $125,000. And the reason was, working with EDA, they very strongly suggested that we put more money into it just in case we needed the extra money. So we worked with them, and they are now putting in $75,000. The $45,000 grant has not changed from CIP. And it is, it's been a long time. It was a very extensive grant that our reporter, Tony Black, worked with. We also worked with Jonathan Johansson from UNC and Mike McCandless from Epic. Sad thing is that we can't use either of them on the project because EDA says we can't use those who helped us, engineers on project. So we have to go out and find someone else to work with, which is no problem. There's plenty out there that are willing to work with us. So it is a economic analysis and feasibility study to bring natural gas finally to Green River. But it also working with on the east, this is the east side of Green River. It's where it would come in. There's a 13-mile connection out of town. And there's also a refinery on the east side that is looking to be put in there that would help us with that. So we are basically looking for the money to do the feasibility study now to see how we can bring that to Green River because of the great economic impact that we have on the citizens and the businesses there. Right now, all of us either depend on propane or electric power. So it would be a great reduction in cost to everybody if we could get that in there.
Mayor, the CIB can fund the study, but we can't really fund the construction of the pipeline.
Right.
Can you tell us briefly what the city's intent is on permanent funding for construction, and maintenance, et cetera?
Yes, we are working with, mainly one of the main things we're working with is the refinery to help fund the main portion into the east side where there is already a refinery, an old refinery, and that's where it would be brought into. And then we would fund the rest through different funding sources. I don't have that information with me, who we would go to yet, because we haven't gotten to that stage. And we just really want to know if we can actually bring it to us, or if we just need to even set up tanks in town. That is the other option. That's what we're dealing with, is to find out what is the best way to go at this point.
And with the EDA funding, in the application it talked about the terms and conditions, but those weren't attached. You are familiar with the terms and conditions of the EDA funding, and there's nothing there that should cause any of us concern?
No. No, just us having to fill out all the paperwork every time we do something.
Did your engineers, you know, for a feasibility study at 100 and over $100,000. Did they explain exactly where that cost is going? I mean, it seems like a lot of it seems to be a paper exercise that it wouldn't be that expensive.
No, we have to, there's two different ways that we can go, so we have to study the best way. We have to get permission from the BLM and Moab, since it's in their county where most of the line is coming through. We have to study the different paths. We have to study environmental. We have to study cultural.
So you actually have to do the EA studies and all of that in existence in the building?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Adams, I didn't see you over there. Are you surprised?
Unbelievable.
That's all right.
I'd like to make a motion we approve the request.
We have a motion from Commissioner Adams. We have a second from Councilman Farrell. Any further questions on the motion?
I have a question.
Mr. Donati, please.
Mayor, are you going to be able to give the right-of-way from the BLM and the other institutions involved in this particular hotline?
Yes.
Piece of cake.
I wouldn't want that far out.
What kind of cake? I would like to ask.
No, we
don't need hard to swallow.
The wind refinery that we've been working with is already gone through that process, and the right of ways have basically been granted already to do that. So, but we still have to do all the other studies to make sure that the line that we want to use is right. But no, there won't be any problem with the right of way. It's pretty rural out there.
Yeah, it is. What about the question on gas? Are you working with them, the corporation, to see if they have any help to offer?
No offense to Questar, but we've given up on them. We are too far away for them to even consider bringing gas into it. And for the expense. They'd be a lot more expensive than us doing it on our own.
Good question. Further questions? All in favor of the motion? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Look
appreciate
forward
it very much.
To hearing the results.
We might be able to get gas.
Well,
is that fossil fuel?
It's a natural fossil.
Natural fossil fuel.
Okay, do you have anything else?
The handout that you have for the application is what has been submitted so far, but that's probably coming in right now.
That essentially concludes the funding meeting. We very much appreciate everyone making the trip. Make sure you spend some money while you're here and on your way home. Support the rural economy. You're welcome to stay for our retreat portion. We promise you that it will only get more boring. But some folks like that.
Is that possible?
You wouldn't think, would you?
Not really.
Yeah.
Trader Davidson wants to know if we can take our ties and our jackets off yet.
Yeah, I don't know what's...
Not what the public looking at.
I don't know what's with the ties.
Mr. Chairman, I have a report. Last month I attended the Dunlop Utah Fire Station, ribbon cutting. The students of Dunlop are very appreciative of the board and all involved. They were really enjoying that opening. It was a beautiful day. They had a barbecue, and they had a truck that is coming to deliver. It's not the actual truck, but the model that it's going to be similar to.
Little bitty,
nobody wanted,
like a Hot Wheel?
Yeah. So they had about 150. They don't have that much vision, but they had 150 attending from the surrounding region, district. And I have never met this many fire station chief in my whole life in one place. There was 10 of them. So for them, the appreciation they love for this rally and their wonderful job.
Likewise, it's a wonderful community there.
Thank you.
As Candace mentioned, was it in the red packet?
It was handed out, yeah.
Yeah, a handout of the applications for the next trimester. It looks like we'll have over 20 applicants or thereabouts. So,
but they're coming in as we speak because today is the deadline.
So we will have meetings this next trimester, and we will have activity, so that's a good thing. If you look at your financials, you'll see that we have ample money, and so that's a very good thing. As you know, we have a couple of funds, perhaps you could call them set-aside funds, perhaps not. One is our major infrastructure set-aside fund that was established 4 or 5 years ago, probably closer to five.
And we've got just south of 70 million in that, waiting for a major infrastructure project. And then we have our throughput infrastructure fund, which was the money earmarked for the port, which can't be used for the port. And so our new receipts are going, to UDOT, and but we take the money that we were going to use for that was earmarked, and so now it's sitting there, and that's approximately $50 million, correct?
Well, it will be. It's getting popular. The throughput infrastructure fund is legislatively different, statutorily different than the infrastructure set aside fund. The infrastructure set aside fund was repopulated when the four counties returned or withdrew their application to the port as being not eligible for mineral lease funds. So there are now six types of projects that can be funded with the throughput, but they're only receiving, and Brenda will talk to it, they're only receiving new receipts, which are substantially down for the first two-year quadrant. They were supposed to have received $27 million, and they are not quite there yet. So we don't get any new mineral money. We do get loan repayments, which is a good reason for the board to loan money. But they have 3 years to accommodate the total amount of what UDOT is making whole in the throughput. So our mineral lease money is going to UDOT to use within eligibility for roads and streets through a separate fund they're doing. And so that's how it's being accommodated. So bottom line is, quick note, new money for the mineral lease is going to UDOT, to a UDOT special fund, which is they're accommodating a tax statutorily free money to a throughput infrastructure fund to accommodate six types of projects. This year they added a new one. It's a hydrogen fuel plant. So now we can accommodate rail, throughput infrastructure, Ivy Port, pipeline, oil gas pipeline. This is all for transportation mitigation and railroads. So we'll be discussing that at the policy retreat a little bit, because we'll go through the code that established this. And you can probably tell us if there's a possibility that we will go to use anytime soon for a big project that would do that.
I believe that there is. And again, it's that deferred gratification that the course discussed on many times, that these projects have to be thoroughly vetted, have to be third-party reviews, and before any of those monies will ever be utilized in that fund. But yeah, there are a number of projects that will benefit not only this fund and this body, but the state of Utah.
So what we'll do is we'll accommodate a process for the throughput use. Right now, we're working on some guidelines, letters of intent, because it'll be a little more intense than the process that the CID mineral lease monies come through.
A little or a lot.
Right now, it's within the purview of this board to oversee that funding allocation. It'll definitely require some study on your part and some review.
Do we need to the bonus fund, the amount of money we have in the bonus fund right now, do we need to put that into the infrastructure website?
It's a very good question. I would encourage you not to, and here's why. Because right now the only money in the infrastructure set aside is a color of money called mineral lease, which means it can be for grants and 0% loan and interest-bearing loan. We would have to keep two loans separate, so it would be a standalone fund, because it's bonus money and it has a whole different marking on it.
We've got
big money and purple money, and the purple money has to have an interest-bearing loan. Right now it's fully pink money. So just loan money at interest, and we can utilize that and leave it where it is, but it does need to be put to work. As you'll see on this sheet, there are I mean, we could easily accommodate every single loan, every single project here if it was loan money today with the funds that's in the bonus plan.
I don't see that we have the ability of, with an action item listed on the agenda, to do such, but I think we should give some consideration to possibly transferring $10 million from the infrastructure set aside into the mineral lease fund, restricting its use for loans only.
Yeah, that was going to be on the July 6th agenda for a transference of money right at the beginning of the trimester versus the end, so you know what you might have to work with.
So for
those,
like
that idea.
Yeah, I think it's this idea that has great merit. And also the bonus fund is, you know, what we do with that, because we're sitting on a $20 million surplus right now, if we don't want to carry forward.
Interest-bearing loans. For you in the audience,
yeah. Pay attention.
The mineral lease money that comes into us comes from two statutory requirements. All the money that the board could possibly accommodate with this can be going out in interest-bearing because it's all called bonus money. Bonus money comes from the lease payments on federal land, even if no revenue is being produced, the lease payments keep going. So the bonus fund has a requirement from the federal government and from state statute that it goes out at interest. So there's no grant money. You got lots to loan. And then there's a mineral lease fund, which is when the resources are developed, part of that revenue goes to the federal government and they return half of it back to the state of origin, which is the mineral lease fund where grants can come from, which right now is all going to UDOT. Zero in there.
But
there is an infrastructure set aside fund that is all mineral lease.
That's what I was just going to add is that, you know, sometimes the way to rephrase that sounds really bad, that there's no new money coming in, but remembering that the $53 million that was set aside came back into those funds. It is a matter of transfer. We've already done that as a board once and brought those monies across. That was to stem that tide for those 2 to 3 years where that money was coming back through. So, you know, as a board, I think it's, you know, very prudent that we look at it in that respect. Yes, can it be used?
Yes.
But are there other projects that would be beneficial in the producing counties and in our energy environment that will help bring about more money into this fund? So I just don't want that to be confused that we're being penalized because of what was done with the legislature. We put ourselves in a position to do other things that are far reaching and that can be. And I really like the idea. I really don't know that we need to transfer money from that into this one because there's already $20 million. I look at the list of applicants here and there's probably 99% of those that need loans and not grants.
Yeah.
So it can be taken care of that way.
Yeah, when you look at the list as they submitted it.
So I appreciate the discussion. The message is we have money. And if you can take the loan, even 0% loan, that's very helpful to this fund. Again, this is a permanent community impact board fund. I will say that repeatedly over the next few days to get used to it. If we don't make loans, we see that it isn't necessarily permanent.
Well,
no one knows what the future is going to be with mineral extraction.
They would have to do a name change.
Temporary. So we appreciate those made to do come in and take loan, whether it's, you know, interest or non-interest, it all helps. We have a $20 million surplus at the end of this trimester in money to loan. That will probably double by the end of next trimester. That's a lot of money to leave sitting on the table. This one of the responsibilities of this board is to balance, you know, our revenues with our expenditures. So please help us out. Tell your friends and neighbors. CIB's lending.
My way of supporting what Commissioner Potter has indicated, please express a real bona fide need in revenue producing counties to accommodate grants because the board could do that. they would prefer that we keep this a revolving fund, and in statute that these guys are tasked with that. So we're preaching to all the guys who got funded, but
y'all come back now.
Y'all come back now.
Any other discussion from the board? Motion. Oh, Mr. Hardy.
I mean, as we've looked at, it's kind of an interesting year to look at how the revenues are taken out without getting any new mineral lease money, having them being converted over to UDOT, and not having to make a single transfer. Just using loan repayments out of mineral lease for the grant accommodations and the loans, and having such a large surplus, I think it begs the question a little bit. How large the market is for these funds, and how do we, what we're really talking about is we have this huge surplus of loan money, how do we expand that market? And we talk a lot about, you know, looking at all of our applications and saying, can you take grant money to loan money? But before we even, I mean, how do we get more applications in? I think that's a larger question, because we have an expanded market of money, which we don't have demand on even applications right now. So I think it would be interesting to discuss what our barriers are there. We talked a little bit about this internally. You know, what's preventing, and communities may just say we're not poised to come in and do projects either for grant or loan. I mean, I think we've heard a little bit of that. But there are communities probably out there who could benefit. How do we market it a little better? How do we have a little more standardized approach? Maybe that's what you know, would help out. I am a little bit concerned about, and I apologize, I wasn't at the last meeting when this was discussed, the Cass County application, and they were given a very high interest rate, and, you know, we have money to loan. If we would have given them a lower interest rate, we would have put money out the door and got it repaid and, you know, helped keep the fund revolving. And we have an untapped market of $20 million in loan money. You know, how do we, you know, start to fill that market up? Because I think that is our responsibility. You know, we have a number of statutory responsibilities, but, you know, turning this fund over, getting repaid, utilizing the money, I think is, we probably need to think a little harder about how to expand the market. Within what the board feels comfortable with, but I think that's an important thing to keep in mind over the next couple of days.
Thank you. I will point out that cash on cash yield, we're closing the gap a little bit with the PTIF. You know, we talked about, I'm not saying idle cash is a good thing, but it's less bad when the PTIF yields 1.25%, which it was 0.5%. It's always, anytime we've looked at other state local government investment pools, it's, believe it or not, one of the highest. Well, it is the highest yielding we're aware of. And at 1.25%, which we call that nosebleed, sky high interest rate in this environment. So 1.25% cash return up against, you know, 1.5% or 2.5% on loans. There's, when we're idling the funds, they're not completely idle. I'm trying to offer up a glass half full.
Well, the point is, if we're getting over 1% by sitting on the money versus 1%, yeah, we're interest rates should be a little bit higher. There is the benefit of the project, so.
Right. Well, you think about the baseline for sort of a zero rate of return, that's a good way to think about it. So you know that just sitting on the money right now, we earn 1.25%. So if we loan it out, we loaned out at 1.25%. That's the daily liquid cash rate. So maybe we think differently about our rate when we do loans. We bump them up a little bit. Rates are rising slowly.
Yeah.
But don't put them out of reach so that it still can go.
Well, do you think the Cass County would come back and take a loan at 2.5%?
Nope.
Not now, because they got 2.4 from Zion.
Oh, really? Okay. That's economic development. let the bank be a bank. Let the bank be a bank.
That was good.
Not bad.
Anything else from the board before we recess and adjourn and reconvene?
You know, at some point I think it would help me being non-financial rather than what I had in my family checking account. Could you draw some pictures and understand the flow, options, that sort of thing?
You're possible.
We just had that conversation like a week ago.
So, Chairman, this afternoon we will be discussing more of these different things and how to structure this, so maybe we understand this. That's been my concern. How do we structure this when we have a little towns come in, they don't have any money, and then you have somebody like Cash County come in, you know, it would have been better off to have loaned them some money and had some return there, and it's a non-producing county. St. George comes in, like we deserve about 3.5%, and they're non-producing, but at least they're generating some cash. I don't know. I'd like to have a little more discussion on how we handle the non-producing county communities versus the ones that are. I guess I'd like to see a true discussion on that.
Seeing nothing else, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion. Second.
Second.
Sherry. All in favor.
Aye.
Any opposed? Anyone want to continue? So we'll take a 10-minute recess then, and then we'll convene our retreat. Thank you all.
Of course, there's great food if you want outside the door. Table up.